SOP 281. We've got a last five and five. We're going to answer a lot of podcasting questions, including, is the Heil PR 40 really that good? And I've got a brand new podcast.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, thanking you, really, I mean that, as in like, thank you for tuning in. This is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to producing to spreading the word about your lovely content. It is all here. Everything you need to start a podcast is at theschoolofpodcasting.com. Our website, well, I just said it, schoolofpodcasting.com. Email, Dave. At schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. It's 888-563-3228. And we are going to kick it back in. We're going to go back in time here for our last five and five from our buddy, Daniel Lewis, over at the Audacity to Podcast. He was the man behind PodCamp Cincinnati, one of them. He was the main guy heading up the thing. A lot of great people involved in that. And he's going to give us a last five and five. Now realize, this is in the middle of PodCamp Cincinnati, and Daniel is just fried, having the time of his life, but just, you know, fried. He's got, and here I come up with a microphone. Hey, now if you're new to the show, a last five and five is simply not what are your five favorite podcasts, but what were the last five that you listened to? So here is Daniel's last five and five.
Wait, last five podcasts?
Yes. This is going to be fun. We're at PodCamp Cincinnati. I'm with a very fried, but very happy.
Yes, very, very happy. Very happy.
Great event here. Daniel Lewis from the Audacity Podcast and Noodle.
The
Dynamics.
Ramen Noodle.
Right?
And Noodle Mix Network.
Yeah. Noodle Mix, thank you. Which is at?
Noodle.mx.
Okay, I had the URL right. And he's going to try to take what's left of his brain and remember the last five podcasts that he listened to.
Well, here's the hard thing. Okay. I'm now self-employed.
Right.
So I find myself so much more engaged in my work that I'm not listening to as many podcasts. Okay, last five is some crazy podcast called School of Podcasting.
Right. That guy's awful.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember. I barely know what day it is.
It's Saturday.
Okay, Saturday. PodCamp Cincinnati Day.
It is.
I have listened to The Onion Radio News.
Okay.
The little 90-second thing. Grammar Girl.
Okay.
Get It Done Guy.
Okay.
And Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Reviews.
Cool.
I think that's five.
That is five.
Okay.
I think. Don't ask me to count.
Don't ask me.
All right. And Daniel, thanks again for a great event. You can find all things Daniel. Just go to noodle.mx. That's noodle.mx. Or you can go to the Audacity to Podcast. You can go to, I think it's Clean Christian Podcast, something like that. But everything that he's doing is over at noodle.mx. Well, one of the things I want to talk about today, I've mentioned this in the past, that I now can sell you podcasting equipment. And, you know, we hear a lot, you know, Leo Laporte has a Heil PR 40, you know, a lot of different people talk about, is the Heil PR 40 that good? Now, I'm talking right now into an ElectroVoice RE320, which I like better than my Shure SM58, which just to do a side-by-side comparison, I got one plugged in here. I will turn this microphone on, and now I'm talking into the Shure SM58. So you can hear, it's got a little lower end. Do I have anything tweaked on my RE20 here? So this is the Shure SM58. This is both of the microphones, and now that's just the RE320. So you can see where the RE320 is a little clearer than this 58. Not that the 58 is bad. I mean, I can always turn this back. There we go. I can always turn this back on, and then I can boost my treble and make it just as clear if I want to. Where the SM58 is $100 and the RE320 is more than that, closer to $3. Well, I've always heard about this. Let me go back to this microphone. I've always heard about this Heil PR40, and it's just, everybody is always like, oh, it's such a great microphone, and goes on and on and on. And I'm like, really? Can it be that good? And it turns out that, well, let's see, okay? Check this out. All right, this is the Electro Voice RE320 microphone in the position for recording vocals. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
This is the Heil PR40 microphone. I'm testing it here. That's why I'm using my radio voice. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Now that was actually done, the Heil PR40 was on loan, I guess you could say. And I was in a very small room and I had one of those kind of sound protector deals. It's like a piece of foam that goes behind the microphone to block background noise. I got to tell you, I didn't really see a whole lot of difference using one of those. But as much as I love my RE320, I definitely know sometime in 2012, I'm going to be getting me one of them there Heil PR40 thingies. They are expensive. If I go over to Amazon.com, yeah, if you go over to Amazon.com, I see them listed here anywhere from $311 to $315. I've seen it at other websites where they're up to $325. You're going to get a shock mount. Now, what is a shock mount? Now, right now I have my RE320 on basically a microphone stand that I use in the band that I play in. I'm actually a guitar player. And that means that if I accidentally touch the stand, you get, you know, that. So if I had a, I'm touching the stand. This is down by the floor. It goes all the way up the stand and goes into the microphone. Now, if I actually tap on the microphone, you know, that's the microphone. This is the stand. Here, I'm going to tap the, this is the windscreen gooseneck. That's that thing that bends around. Everything that's connected to the microphone, if you touch it, makes a noise. Now, I talk with my hands, so I'm constantly doing this. I'll be talking to somebody and all of a sudden you'll hear me. And it's because my hand hits the windscreen. It drives me nuts. So I need a shock mount, which I could probably pull off my old condenser microphone and put it on this one, but I just haven't done it yet. But shock mounts, that's what a shock mount does, is basically if somebody hits your microphone stand, it isolates the microphone. It's basically hanging in thin air. So that those are kind of made special for that. So that is basically $100 as well. And then you need a pop filter that, again, kind of specifically designed for the Heil, which, again, is another, you know, close to $100. So when you buy the microphone, you're basically, you know, you're going to end up putting out close to, you know, $500, basically closer to six, really. So because you might want to get a cool, what's called a scissors or a boom arm. So they are expensive. But I will say this, being that I can sell equipment now, I can definitely beat Amazon's price. So if you're interested in ever getting a Heil PR40, send me an email, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. All right, next up, we are just going to go through my email here and answer questions that have been coming in. Again, you can just email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. Victoria Gibbons, when I opened my email, I was like, how cool is this? She emailed this 11 minutes ago here on, it is the November 12th, and it's making it into the podcast. It says, Dave, I thought the 27-step podcast was great. Thank you. That was last week's 27 Steps to iTunes. If you're new to podcasting, go listen to that, because it's going to make it sound like podcasting is so hard, but it's not. You just have to get through those first 27 steps. How about life beyond iTunes? Do you send your RSS feed to Stitcher? Yes, I do. But I haven't looked in there a while, but I know I was getting close to 100 downloads or listens or streams or whatever, or other pod feeds. What else is out there besides iTunes, and how do we set them up? Ah, well, number one, I have a secret weapon for this that I can't tell you about. There is, if you go to Podcast 411, my good buddy Rob Walsh has a directory of directories. Now, Jay Walsh, who does Pro Potter, if you go to propotter.com, yes, that's right, folks. Dave talks about other podcasters in his podcast. And Jay has some, like, just awesome content. Love me, that Jay Walsh guy. Good stuff. And he went over through the directories and kind of, because a lot of them have gone by the wayside. I used to own one back in the day. Podcast Charts was my directory. When iTunes came out, everybody kind of just abandoned them. And from a personal standpoint, anytime you have any kind of directory or if you want to have a forum, just you might as well put a giant sign on your back that says porn people spam me, because forums and in the case of a podcast directory, it for whatever reason, porn people love to spam those things. That's like if you go to a podcast promo swap, that's why there's a $2 fee for that. Not that I'm going to retire on the $2 you put to swap your promo, but it hopefully, knock on the microphone stand, will keep the porn people out. But Jay went over and listed 50 of these websites, from Amigo Fish to BlackBerry. Podcast Pickle is a good one. Obviously, iTunes, BlackBerry, Zune, because you're like, but didn't they discontinue the Zune? Yeah, but they're using the Zune Marketplace is going to be integrated into the Xbox. But he's got a list over there. And what you're going to need is you're going to need your iTunes feed. You're going to need the name of your podcast. You're probably going to need a description of your podcast. You're going to need your website feed, your website URL. You will need your email address. I already said that. I think that's about it. Oh, and an image in some cases. So you're going to need have your 600 by 600 image, have a 300 by 300, and have a 144 by 144. And then copy and paste that in there over and over and over. And if you sign up for the School of Podcasting, I have a tutorial that shows you how to do this all in about 5 to 15 minutes, because I've got a free tool and I would love to tell you about it, but it's that good. It's that good that I just can't give that one away. Sign up for the week. Get that tutorial. It's worth this, whatever it is, $12. So now, is it worth listing your podcast in these? Well, kind of. The reason for I say kind of is I'm assuming most of these are indexed by Google. So there is a chance that somebody may find you that way when they search for, you know, School of Podcasting podcast. It should come up. Now, and more importantly, your website should come up, not theirs. But if you have something like, you know, whatever, cleaning affirmation podcast, your podcast should come up. I just helped somebody with that topic. A cleaning affirmation podcast. It's awesome. Thanks, Diane. And, but what it also does is because you are linking to your website, the more people that link to your website, the more Google goes, many websites are linking to this website. This must be important. And we call that Google juice. So if nothing else, it takes 2 seconds to list your podcast and it's a link back to your website. And it may help, oh, ever so slightly with your Google juice. Now, the other thing is that people, I was helping a client that comes from radio. And they are looking for the like one size fits all kind of, oh, if I just do this, the world will know about my podcast and I'll get a gazillion subscribers. And it just doesn't work that way. So, well, number one, you've got it. It's called your microphone. You're on, I think he's on AM radio. I said, so you've already got a lot of people to say, hey, come listen to my podcast, go to my website. But the rest is simply, and I always say this, I'll repeat it again. It's simple. It's just not easy. And that is find out where your audience is, which means you have to know who your audience is. So kind of have to, you know, this is where things like answering emails, things like that come in handy. And then like I just found out one of the people that listen to my weight loss podcast is a truck driver. And truck drivers, well, let me get to that in a second. So you have to know where your audience, who your audience is, where they are. Go there and tell them about your podcast, either via demo CDs, via business cards that point people to your website, things like that. And it's going to be one listener at a time. You know, that's where conventions and meetups are handy, because you can get, you know, you just start handing them out. But it is really about building a relationship. Now, the other thing, speaking of truck drivers are a great audience. My father was a truck driver, long distance, and back in the day, he had a CB radio and that was it. Truck drivers now have Wi-Fi in their trucks and they're streaming podcasts. So, Reverend Cat, if you're listening, hey, just to show you that there are a lot of people listening to podcasts, especially people that are driving. So, Victoria, thank you very much for your question. Deeply appreciate that. So, again, go over to, I'll put a link in the show notes, but if you go over to ProPodder, you can check that out. Hey, speaking of websites about podcasting, and I talked about Jay Walsh over at ProPodder. Great guy. He has a paragraph here. He says, realize podcasting isn't just about audio. Blogging isn't just about words. Marketing isn't just about selling. Video isn't just about pictures. Social media isn't just about collecting friends. He says, yes, we'll be targeting the post to podcasting, but no matter what your forte, you'll find relevant information, reviews, and how-tos help to make your blog video marketing even better. Start by signing up for our newsletter, and thanks for taking a look at ProPodder.com. So good stuff. Like I said, he's a good guy. I kind of want to go, Jay, where's your here's the thing. Jay is the exception, because I see so many people writing blog posts about, like there was one, oh my God, I just was like, seriously, and I actually Twittered her, and we had this little, hey, I don't mean to be a persnickety, I don't know, pod Scrooge, but she was talking about, Cool Edit. Cool Edit. As a software package for podcasting, Cool Edit was bought, I don't know, back in the 50s by Adobe. I was like, your information is way out of date. It was amazing. And she was talking about all these different microphones, and I was just, and my point was, it was somebody giving tips on podcasting that doesn't have a podcast. It drives me bananas. It'd be like me telling you how to ride a horse. Why? I don't own a horse. I don't know how to ride a horse. It's crazy. But Jay does Campground Pirate Radio. So, but he should be doing a ProPodder podcast. But speaking of that, now on my Android, where I'm using Beyond Pod, found Podcasting Passion. This is by Max Flight, who does the Airplane Geeks podcast. It's another podcasting, it's another podcast about podcasting, which I will be putting out at podcastaboutpodcasting.com. He's on episode 10. And another one, and I'm sure we're going to bump into each other, because I always talk about how I'm a personal podcast coach. My name is Dave. His name is Dave. His name is Dave Doucette. You can find him at podcastcoach.com. And he basically does a podcast about podcasting. I've only listened to a couple episodes. He's doing a lot of video stuff on YouTube. But like I always say, folks, the School of Podcasting is the place to find everything about podcasting. And that means that some of the information isn't always going to come from me, but realize I am listening to that to stay up with what's going on in the industry. So add those to your aggregator if you want to catch all things podcasting, or you can just listen to me, and I'll filter all the good stuff down to you. Next question comes from Charles Gooch, the Goochinator. Says, hello, Dave. Hope you're well. Thanks for the podcast. I have a question that I don't remember being addressed on the show, and if it has, I apologize. Well, it's a quick one. It says, my question is related to the statistics that FeedBurner provides for your feed. I'm impressed with the amount of information it provides, but I'm wondering how accurate it is. For example, it says, if it says you have 10 subscribers one day and the next day 20, the next day 60, the next day 10, that seems to be a lot of fluctuation, easy for me to say. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad it says I have more than one, which would be just me, but I'm wondering how accurate they are due to the amount of fluctuation there is. It's really how many people looked at your feed today. And technically, I think it's yesterday, because I think their stats are a day behind. So if I get 10 on Monday and then 20 on Tuesday, and then 10 of that 20 on Tuesday may actually be the people from Monday returning. Some people use their RSS readers every day, and some people, you know, start iTunes every day. Some don't. So it's how many people looked at your feed that day. So if you have 100 one day and then 200 the next, that may be really just 100 more people than the day before. And it's just, it's how many people are looking at it that day. I was reading the book, or listening to the book, Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk, and he made a great point about stats. Stats are great. I always like to go in and look at mine and see if they're either going up or down or whatever, and especially if all of a sudden they just take a nosedive. I know there's probably something wrong with my feed. but it's better to focus on creating good content. If you focus on creating good content, the numbers will come and they will go up. But if you focus on, if you get really hypersensitive to the dips, it's a little bit like the stock exchange. It's going to go up and down. It just is. I've had episodes that I thought were just like epic. I'm like, oh, this is going to go viral, baby. And it's like, eh. And then I've had other ones that I've like, ugh, I put the headphones down. I'm like, that was not my best work. And it'll just go through the roof. So I just talk about what I'm passionate about, which is podcasting, and let the numbers take care of themselves. That's really how I view it. You know, the only time I really get involved with numbers if I'm trying to get a sponsor for a podcast and things like that. But that's why they fluctuate, because not everybody, you know, gets into firing up their RSS feed every day. I do want to share one email that I got from Maria Seddon, I'm going to say. From Newcastle, Australia. I guess it's S-E-D-D-O-N. She says, thanks, Dave. This is so useful, and your message comes with perfect timing. I am systematically listening to your School of Podcasting podcast and absorbing all of your wonderful tips. Thank you for listening. I appreciate that. She says, I'm currently in the last few weeks of preparation before launching my own podcast. I've been thinking about doing this for about a year now. Your podcast has been one of those things that has spurred me along to actually do it. Well, good. You need to do it. She says, I'm pretty excited about it. So am I. It's a podcast called Genies Down Under, a podcast about family history with an Australian twist. She says, I've been listening to podcasts about genealogy and family history from the U.S. for years. Great people like Lisa Louise Cook, The Genealogy Guys, Irish Roots Cafe, but can't find any podcasts that were specifically about Australian genealogy. So I finally come to the conclusion to create one myself. Amen, sister. That's what you got to do. Thanks again. Up until now, I've been a silent listener and admirer of your work. But now that I realize the importance of listener feedback, I thought I would put finger to keyboard and let you know how much I appreciate your podcast and your regular email messages. So keep an eye out for Genies Down Under. Yeah, this is she'd actually signed up for my newsletter is where this came from. So, but that's just a great example that, is she could have easily said, oh, there's already, you know, the genealogy guys and all these other people that are doing a podcast. And, you know, so why should I? There's already genealogy podcasts, but there wasn't one for Australia. And even if there already was one, there wouldn't be one with her slant, her history, her background. So absolutely start that podcast. And thank you very much for the feedback. And I think that's where we're going to call it a day. Oh, actually, I forgot to mention, I do have a new podcast. In fact, let me play you the intro for that.
Thicken up your skin and get ready for a supersized serving of opinion. Delivering constructive criticism and powerful praise, it's the Podcast Review Show. This is the podcast that takes the guesswork out of first-time impressions. You'll discover new podcasts while learning podcasting tips. Join in on the conversation via voicemail, email, comments, and polls. It's all at our website, podcastreviewshow.com.
And this is something that I started a while back, and I really, even this, the first episode, I had to review somebody that I met on Twitter. Ooh, that is hard, because in this case, I'm just not their audience. Not that they have bad content, I'm just, didn't do anything for me. And it's very hard to say that to somebody that you kind of like. But I got my wife involved, get your family involved in podcasting. And it was interesting to do a podcast with her. And I look forward to doing more. And really what this was just a test. If you've never found the website Fiverr, Fiverr.com, I put an ad there that said, I will review your podcast for $5. And it's something that my wife and I are now doing. So it's at the podcastreviewshow.com. And just remember that everybody's got an opinion, and just because I have one doesn't mean I'm right. But so if you're looking to get your podcast reviewed, it's something we're doing. And I think it's going to be something that's going to be kind of a fun family activity. And hopefully we'll actually get some that we enjoy a little more than the first episode we did. But it's interesting. So check that out at podcastreviewshow.com. That is going to do it for today's episode. If you would have something you'd like to talk about, well, do what Victoria did. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. Victoria, thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks to Daniel Lewis for the last 5 and 5. That'll be out there at in our show notes at schoolofpodcasting.com. I would love to hear from you. You can call in your comments courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. That's 888-563-3228. If you're looking to have your podcast really reviewed, go out to the website, click on consulting, and you know, hire me for a coaching session, and we can really go over your podcast from head to foot and go over the things. There are a lot of little things that people miss that can actually help you out in the end. Or if you're looking to start a podcast, go out, sign up for the website. You can sign up for a week, a month, a year, whatever you want. And we've got those step-by-step tutorials. We've got the resources. We've got everything you need in one place, including equipment sales. So if you're looking for that Heil PR40, everything is there at theschoolofpodcasting.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again real soon. Until then, class is dismissed.